have Faye coming this morning to read to us from 2 Kings chapter 18, verse 14 to the end, I think. That's how it works. Thank you. Is that right? Sorry? Oh, sure. We're just going to be reading from the New King James Version. It was good to welcome Faye and Demetrius back to Bible College on Sunday as they came back from Egypt, and thank the Lord they got back safely from Egypt with a wonderful insight there as well. So we're reading from verse 14, 2 Kings chapter 18, verse 14 to the end. Thank you.
Then Hezekiah, king of Judah, sent to the king of Assyria and Lachish, saying, I have done wrong. Turn away from me. Whatever you impose on me, I will pay. And the king of Assyria says to Hezekiah, king of Judah, 300 talents of silver and 30 talents of gold. So Hezekiah gave him all the silver that was found in the house of the Lord and in the treasures of the king's house. At that time, Hezekiah stripped the gold from the doors of the temple of the Lord and from the pillars which Hezekiah, king of Judah, had overlaid, and gave it to the king of Assyria. Then the king of Assyria sent the Tartan, the Rabsaris, and the Rabshakeh from Lachish with a great army against Jerusalem to King Hezekiah. And they went up and came to Jerusalem. When they had come up, they went and stood by the adequate from the upper pool, which was on the highway to the fuller's field. And when they had called to the king, Eliakim, the son of Hilkiah, who was over the household, Shebna the scribe, and Joah the son of Asaph the recorder, came out to them. Then the Rabshakeh said to them, say now to Hezekiah, thus says the great king, the king of Assyria, what confidence is this in which you trust? You speak of having plans and power for war, but they are mere words. And in whom do you trust that you rebel against me? Now look, you are trusting in the staff of this broken reed, Egypt, on which if a man leans, it will go into his hand and pierce it. So is Pharaoh, king of Egypt, to all that trust him. But if you say to me, we trust in the Lord our God, is it not he whose high places and whose altars Hezekiah has taken away and said to Judah and Jerusalem, you shall worship before this altar in Jerusalem. Now therefore, I urge you, give a pledge to my master, the king of Assyria, and I will give you 2,000 horses, if you are able on your part to put riders on them. How then will you repel one captain of the least of my master's servants and put your trust in Egypt for chariots and horsemen? Have I now come up with the Lord against this place to destroy it? The Lord said to me, go up against this land and destroy it. Then Eliakim, the son of Hilkiah, said Shebna, and Joah said to the Rabshakeh, please speak to your servants in Aramaic, for we understand it, and do not speak to us in Hebrew, in the hearing of the people who are on the wall. But Rabshakeh said to them, has my master sent me to your master and to you to speak these words, and not to the men who sit on the wall, who will eat and drink their own waste with you? Then Rabshakeh stood and called out with a loud voice in Hebrew and spoke, saying, hear the word of our great king, the king of Assyria. Thus says the king, do not let Hezekiah deceive you, for he shall not be able to deliver you from his hand, nor let Hezekiah make you trust in the Lord, saying, the Lord will surely deliver us. the city shall not be given into the hand of the king of Assyria. Do not listen to Hezekiah, for thus says the king of Assyria, make peace with me, buy a present and come to me, and every one of you will eat from his own vine, and every one from his own fig tree, and every one of you drink the waters of his own cistern, until I come and take you away to a land like your own, a land of grain and new wine, a land of bread and vineyards, a land of olive groves and honey, that you may live and not die. But do not listen to Hezekiah, lest he persuade you, saying, the Lord will deliver us. Has any of the gods of the nations of all delivered its land from the hand of the king of Assyria? Where are the gods of Hamath and Arpad? Where are the gods of Sepharvaim and Hena and Ea? Indeed, have they delivered Samaria from my hand? Who among all the gods of the lands have delivered their countries from my hand, that the Lord should deliver Jerusalem from my hand? But the people held their peace and answered him not a word, for the king's commandments was, do not answer him. Then Eliakim, the son of Hilkiah, who was over the household, Shebna the scribe, and Joah the son of Asaph the recorder, came to Hezekiah with their clothes in torn, and told him the words of Rabshakeh. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. May God bless the reading of his word. That was really well read. Thank you. If you have ever had a chance to visit or join us on our Bible College day trips to the British Museum, where we're looking for the Bible in the British Museum, and we're looking at how alive the Bible is when we get there. You'll remember those of you who've been with us on such days, one of the areas we've gone to is the Assyrian Hall. And we have, in the Assyrian Hall, we have an amazing feel for what it was like to have lived with the Assyrian king and the Assyrian people. And one of the great murals across the whole side is a mural in the British Museum that demonstrates, this was found in Assyria, that talks about the destruction of a town called Lachish. Now, Lachish was the next biggest city in Israel before Jerusalem. And two cities had said to the king of Assyria, no, we're not going to pay you any more lunch money, because Sennacherib was a bully. Sennacherib was demanding huge taxes from all the cities. And Hezekiah, at the time, was the king of Judah, who was one of the few really good kings in Judah, in Israel. Hezekiah was a faithful king. Hezekiah, when he came to power in Judah, tore down all the idols and all the Asherah poles, and he destroyed the idolatry of the land, and he brought the people back to God. Hezekiah was a faithful king. And so, in part, I think Hezekiah felt that the kings of Israel and the kings of Judah should not be paying a pagan king like the king of Assyria lunch money. But, as often happens, it's never easy when you stand for good, when you stand and you make a stand for God. And in fact, often what happens is bullies will react, and sometimes it can be very difficult. And Sennacherib came down and he surrounded Lachish, the city just before Jerusalem, and he absolutely destroyed it. He brought his massive professional army down. He took special weapons. He broke the siege, and he ransacked the city of Lachish. Now, this story, if you go to the British Museum, you can see the Bible in living life. in real life, because this was what the Assyrians did. They made a story of what they did, and they depicted it very carefully. And you'll see that what they did is they got most of the people and the leaders, and they put like fish hooks or rings in their noses, and they put fish hooks in their ears and something around their mouth, and they like drew them, they dragged them by this muzzle into Assyria. And as they did that, they also did some terrible things. You'll see in the pictures, if you go there, you'll see that they were merciless. They would take some of those that they captured from Lachish, and they would impale them on huge big poles of wood and stick them outside the city to remind people of what happens when you stand up to a bully like Sennacherib. You will be impaled. To be impaled was an awful death, probably even worse than crucifixion in some ways, because they would let you die very slowly with this impaled piece of wood going straight through you, and in agony you would die. They would do other things. You can see it all there. They would they plundered the city and they took it with them. The Assyrians were particularly cruel when it came to dealing with those that stood up to them. Nevertheless, Hezekiah, when he saw what happened to the city of Lachish, he thought, oh my goodness, I didn't realize it was going to be that bad. And he sent emissaries to the king Sennacherib of Assyria, and he said, look, tell me what I owe you. I've done wrong. I should have paid you. I will pay you now. What do you want from us? Only leave us alone. We don't want to have to go through that situation. And as so often happens, you cannot buy off bullies with your lunch money. They'll take your lunch money today, and then they'll let you go, and then they'll come back tomorrow. And as so often happens, they said, look, I need from you, and he made it almost impossible. 300 talents of silver, a lot of money. 20 talents of gold. And Hezekiah was so afraid of what was going to happen, he stripped the temple of all the gold, and he got gold from everybody, and he got silver as much as he could, and he sent it to Sennacherib down to where he was at Lachish and said, here's the money, just leave us alone. But bullies are seldom persuaded by lunch money. And the next thing, they wake up in the morning in Jerusalem to find they are surrounded with a great Assyrian army. Because it wasn't that he hadn't paid the money that was so much the problem for Sennacherib. It was that he had stood up against him. It was that he had dared to stand up to the bully. And bullies can't stand it when you stand up to them. They react when you stand up to them. There are bullies everywhere. There are bullies in school. I remember a friend who's a pastor friend of mine. When he moved to a new area, his little son was telling him, his son's grown up now, that when he first went to school, that is exactly what happened. They would take whatever pocket money he had every day, and then they would make him, because he was a little bit different in the way he spoke, they'd make him kneel down in the playground in front of everybody and ask and beg them not to hit him. And sometimes they would leave him, and sometimes they would slap him at lunchtime. And he said he dreaded going to school. He dreaded the bullies every single day, and it made school hell for him. In schools, you'll find bullies. You'll find bullies in the community. I remember telling a story once of that precious family from South America who had gone to Clapham Baptist Church. And they were a precious, godly family. They loved the Lord. The little children would kneel down and pray every night, and they loved the Lord. And one day, some big thug with his hoodie came and brought his big dog and let the dog mess on the grass right outside the door. And the man just said, look, please don't do that. And just because he did that, the man got angry. He came around. He came with a machete, a big machete, and he came knocking on the door, banging on the door. It's just down the road, hammering away. And the man opened it a little bit, thinking he could reason with the bully. You can't reason with bullies. you know the family? You know the family I'm talking about. And they're a lovely, godly family. And he tried to reason, and the man pushed him his way in with the jolly machete and started to try and hit him, thankfully, with the flat part of it. And his little son, who was terrified, lying down, as he was lying in the passageway, his dad had fallen down, sent him a cricket bat that happened to be there. And suddenly the dad, not a big guy, got up with the cricket bat, sort of shocked the bully that he had a cricket bat, pushed him out the door and closed the door. And the man just hammered the door, shouting and cursing and screaming. Called the police. It took a long, long time for the police to get there. Eventually, he had gone by the time they got there, the police. And the police said, look, there's not much we can do. For the next couple of weeks, if not months, the gang in that community began a terrorist time of terrorizing this family. They would surround them day and night. They would harass them, would send little kids in that were tough little kids and get the kids to fight and try and fight the little children, to bully the little children. And they would be walking to school and they would do this to them or they would do that to them. And I remember going one night with John Willis to try and pray with them and encourage them. And we went into the flat, and all around the flat you could hear whistling. They knew we were there. And we could look out the windows and they were right there, terrorizing this poor family in our community. And that's when I wrote to Kate Hoey, who's the Member of Parliament for the area, and I said, look, even at that time Zimbabwe was going through, and Kate Hoey was involved in Zimbabwe as well. Even in Zimbabwe, when they occupy the farms, they don't treat the children this way. And yet here in London, they are terrorizing these children. And thankfully, it wasn't long after that and the whole group were moved out of the estate. But that story could be told over and over again. There are bullies in the schools. There are bullies in the communities. There are bullies in social media. You know, I've just got a couple of names here. Just recently, not in the long period of time, you look at these names of these lovely young people: Amanda Todd, Jesse Logan, Hope Wickle, Sarah Lynn Butler, and Phoebe Prince, and many, many more. And I would ask you, what do we know about them? Well, each one of them, these beautiful young people, committed suicide because they were bullied on cyberbullying, on social media. They couldn't take the shame. They couldn't take the fact that people were shaming them and putting them down and publicly humiliating them. They ended up killing themselves. Bullies are on social media like never before. Everywhere you look, they're bullies. You go into our streets. Just a few weeks ago, we had a concert that spoke against knife crime, disarmed, put down the blades, pick up the sword of God. What a precious message that was. What a precious evening that was. That was just a few weeks ago. Since that concert at the end of May, the month of June, I just had a look yesterday. In the month of June alone, I just want to get this right. In London, there have been 38 stabbings just in June. Out of those 38 stabbings, 10 are dead in London in the last few weeks. And you're seeing more and more a bullying culture develop on the streets. To be somebody who holds a blade and sticks it in somebody on the streets is not being cool. We've said that. We made that very clear that night. But it is being a bully. It's being a coward. It's being a loser. A real loser sticks knives in somebody else. Not only are they cowards, not only are they losers, in school, we would have said if there was somebody who was a bit, you know, strange or a bit off, or he reacted that sort of way. When I was at school, we'd say, look, stay away. We would use the word, back in the day, probably politically incorrect, but we would use the word, he's a bit thick. Not because he wasn't clever. He was thick because he was violent with other people. We would use the word thick. And when you see somebody's a bit thick, stay away from them, you know, if you can. Well, that's what this is. It's a mental health issue. They are cowards. They are losers. They are thick. That's what they are. They don't understand what they're doing. They don't understand how it's affecting other people. They don't know how it's affecting themselves. They are bullies, and they are bullies everywhere, in schools, in the community, on the streets, on social media. And the Bible talks about bullies. The Bible had its fair share of bullies. You remember Pharaoh. Pharaoh, who, when he was told to let the people go, he decided to bully them even more. Make bricks without straw. Beat them harder. He was a bully. Not only that, you find that Haman, remember the story of Haman in Esther? He saw Mordecai. He hated Mordecai. He wanted to kill Mordecai and use his authority and his powerful position to kill Mordecai. And he bullied Mordecai, and then he wanted to kill all of Mordecai's people. And then you get the great story of David and Goliath. And Goliath, the bully, who came and tormented Israel day after day and tormented the people and armies of Israel. There are bullies throughout the Bible. But I want to tell you something. When you see bullies in the Bible, it never ends well for them. When you bring God into the situation, when you bring God into the situation and there's a bully situation, it does not end well for the bully. And that's exactly what happens in our story today. Because what happens in our story today is you see in Lachish, She just needs some water. Len, there's just, okay. Oh, she's not feeling well. Sorry, Bernice. Maybe Anne, could you come in and have a look? Thank you. Okay. What we're going to do is we're going to try and move Bernice. Okay, thank you. Bless you, Bernice, one of our faithful attenders. We pray for you. Bernice is just going to wait outside till the end. She's doing a bit better. We're not going to let her go till we know she's okay. So thank you for those who've helped. And Bob, thank you for just helping us focus as we go. I was just thinking, and 40-odd years of ministry, I've never had that happen quite like that before. And you never know from one day to the next how things happen. But we thank the Lord for Bernice. She looks like, I hope she's going to be all right. Thank you for those who are helping. I think with a bit of cool air at the back, she'll be okay.
The bully was not happy.
Okay, thank you, Bob. So let us just pray. Let us pray, and we'll continue then. Father, we thank you for Bernice and her faithfulness, Lord, and bless her, Lord, and help her to go back and feel a lot better, Lord. Thank you that she would even be able to want to be here today, and just strengthen her, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay, so we are going to continue now. And as we do, just to recap where we were, just so that we can get back, as it were, into the message, because we've talked a little bit about what bullies are and who they are. We've looked at the bully Sennacherib, and we've looked at how the great king in Israel Hezekiah has tried to pay him off with lunch money, and how the lunch money didn't matter to him. He still came with a massive army and surrounded Jerusalem. And now we pick up the story just quickly as we come to the second part, as it were, of what's happening. Because when he looked out over the city walls and he saw that Jerusalem was surrounded by the Assyrian army, he sent out a couple of his ambassadors to speak to the, how could you call him, the man who spoke for the king, the king's spokesman. And they were sitting there, and the people were, while they were having this peace conference, if you can call it that, were listening. And the man who was sent from the king, Sennacherib, to talk to them, started shouting and speaking out. And the people from Jerusalem said, please, don't speak in Hebrew, speak in Aramaic so you don't discourage our people. And when he heard that, he shouted all the more louder in Hebrew so they could hear it. And this is what he said. He said, you've been cut off. You're isolated. There is no one who can help you. Not even Egypt can help you. But more importantly, and this is the issue today, not even God can help you. Not even the God that you hope in, the God of Israel, even he cannot help you. Wow. That's blasphemy if you've ever heard it, especially when you're standing at the doors of Jerusalem. That's not a very clever thing to say when you think about what God has done in history. But that's what they said. They didn't care, and they tried to throw their words at the people and discourage them. And so then you get the situation where they say, we're coming for you. There is nothing you can give us, no money, nothing you can do. There is no one you can turn to. You are isolated, and we are coming to take you out. And so in the face of this bully, in the face of Sennacherib, Hezekiah the king does three things. And we look at his response to the bully, Sennacherib, and I want to suggest that that should be our response when we are faced with bullies in life. Because we see what he did. And the first response comes in chapter 19, if you look. And it's about, just as we go, it's about worship. It's about worship. The first thing he does is he puts sackcloth, and he's broken. And with sackcloth, he goes where? He doesn't even go to Isaiah, who's a great prophet. He doesn't go to anybody. He goes to the house of the Lord. When you are being persecuted by a bully, whoever that bully is, when you are being hassled by a bully, whatever that bully is, you first go to the house of the Lord. You go to God. That's what Hezekiah did. He didn't go to the prophets. He didn't go to Egypt. He went to God. And he started saying, God, I need your help. And then a little bit later in verse 14 in that same chapter, he even comes to God when they come back again and threaten him. And he says, God, this is the person, Sennacherib. Sennacherib is giving me a hard time and giving Israel a hard time. And he is blaspheming you. You know what he's doing? He's bringing his bully to God by name. He's naming his bully. Whatever the bully is, whoever the bully is, you bring that bully specifically to God by name. And you say, Lord, this is the boss. This is his name, and he is hurting me. He's hassling me. He's undermining me at work. This is the bully at college that is gunning for me, that is saying bad things. This is the bully by name on social media who is turning everybody against me. Lord, this is him. This is her. This is the bully. I bring them by name, and I give them to you. That's what he did. The first thing you do when you're facing a bully is you go and you go to church. And when he did that, he came in verse 14 to the cherubim in the ark, and he looked at them, and he, as it were, saw the throne of God. And the first place we go to is worship. Worship and prayer. Once we go there, once we follow the king's example, We then go to the second, which is the words. Understanding that the bully the weapon bullies most use against their victims is words. And he goes and he sends his people to Isaiah, and he says, they go to Isaiah, they say, Isaiah the prophet, what do we do now? The king is crying out to God, what do you want us to do? And Isaiah says back to them, go back to the king and tell them, this is what the Lord says. This is what the Lord is saying to you today when you are being persecuted by bullies. He's saying to them, do not be afraid of their words. Do not be afraid of their words. Their words mean nothing. Their words are empty. Their words have no power over you. And that is what is happening in the situation today. People are throwing words at the church. People are throwing words, calling us all kinds of names, especially when we stand up for God's truth. We call bigoted. That's a word I hear a lot. Narrow-minded. That's another term I hear a lot. Exclusive, I hear that word a lot. All these words that are being thrown at us from society, these words, the Lord says, they are empty words. Whoever is bringing words against you, those words are empty when you are standing with God. Those words are nothing when you are standing with God. They're empty threats. And Isaiah says, words mean nothing. God means everything. And then you come to the third. So you've had the worship. You've had the words. Now you come to what I call, I guess, the war. The war. Because they mean business. There's no question they mean business. And the war that we are going to see when we bring the bully before God and when we don't allow his words to destroy us and paralyze us, the war that we're going to see is not our war. It's not us that are going to fight this war against the bully. Just like with Pharaoh, Moses said, what should he say to the people when they were coming down and Pharaoh was coming to take them out? He said, stand still, be still, and watch what God will do this day. That's exactly what we are called to do when we see the war unfold against the bully. We are called to stand back and be still. God says this in the New Testament through his apostle. He says, vengeance is mine. That person who is hurting you, that person who is persecuting you, that person who is undermining you, that person who is saying niggly things about you and will not let it go, vengeance is mine. Let me deal with it. Bring them to the Lord and step back and watch. Worship, words, watch. And watch what happens. Vengeance is mine, says the Lord. Just step back and watch. And during that night, we don't know exactly when or how it happened, but we know that a follow-up, as it were, to the angel of death that took the lives in Egypt came to Jerusalem. And it flew around, this angel of death, over the armies that were threatening Jerusalem. You see, God said through his prophet to Hezekiah, he said, it's not against you that this king has blasphemed, it's against me. When somebody comes against God's people, he's not coming against you, he's coming against God. You're the messenger. They're coming for the message. It's not against you. It's against the message you stand for. It's against the light that you stand for. It's the truth that you stand for that they're coming against. And God knows that, and God sees that, and he says, it's not against you, it's against me. And actually, I've had enough. I've had enough of this bully. The next morning, he says, There's a beautiful verse later on that says, tell the king, Isaiah to King Hezekiah, tell the king, this is what the Lord says, I've had enough. I'm going to put a ring nose in his nose. I'm going to put a hook in his ear. I'm going to put a bolt around his head, and I am going to turn him back to where he came from. I'm sending him back to Assyria. I've had enough. He doesn't belong in God's place anymore. He will be gone. And the next morning they look, they walk around, and the king gets up and he shakes his soldiers to wake them up, but they're lifeless. And he looks around and he shakes the next one and he sends people, and he looks around. 185,000 Assyrian troops dead in their beds around the city of Jerusalem. 185,000 dead. You see, when God has had enough, then all we need to do is step back and God will sort it out. He will deal with it. He will sort it out. We just need to stand still and let him. Amen. Amen. May God strengthen you, especially those of you who might be feeling overwhelmed by any situation. Bring it to God. God can deal with it. God can sort it out. Sometimes it's not as ruthless as that. God might just move someone away or might open a door. It doesn't have to be ruthless, but God will sort it out. Amen. Come, let's stand, let's worship together as we sing our final hymn. Father, as we prepare to sing our final hymn, we thank you, Lord, for the lesson of a faithful king. And we pray that we, like him, will be able to worship you when we are overwhelmed. That we will neglect and not be intimidated by the words of evil that surround us, that try to get inside our head. And finally, that we will learn to stand still and watch as you deal with the situation. Give us the faith to trust you in Jesus' name. Amen.